Have a seat. Now, if I asked you to tell me something about Jesus, I expect you'd have lots of things to say. If I asked you to tell me something about Paul or Moses or Elijah, I suspect you'd have a few good bits of information to share. If I asked you to tell me about Daniel or Job or Eve, you might have some familiarity. If I asked you to tell me something about Esther, I'd be willing to bet I'd get little more than a few blank stares. And there's a reason for that. I would never expect a parish congregation to be very familiar with the book of Esther, because we only ever get this one selection of the story in it today. By comparison, today we wrap up 5 weeks of the Epistle of James. Next week we'll begin 7 weeks of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And at other times of the year, we spend weeks following the narratives of lots of different characters and storylines. As far as Esther is concerned, this is it. So if you miss the reading today, you're just going to have to wait 3 years until we come around to it again. The book of Esther is a truly unique book in the Hebrew scriptures. It chronicles important features of ancient Jewish experience, but it does so in a way that makes it stand out from the other books in that genre. Yet even though it situates itself amongst the revered texts of the ancient world, it compares with contemporary books in many ways. The book of Esther tells the story of how the wise and courageous young Jewish girl Hadassah, who later changes her name to Esther, foils the genocidal schemes of Haman, an avowed hater of the Jewish people. The result of Esther's self-realization, critical thinking, and strategic actions wins freedom and prosperity for all of her people. The book of Esther is a study in remaining calm, cool, and collected in the face of extremely high anxiety. Esther keeps her head about herself and doesn't fall victim to either her own fears or the blustering of bullies. This is a story about making justice happen where justice needs to happen. If anyone in the scripture text deserves some props for acting in the moment when the moment calls for it, it's Esther. So we're going to spend a little time appreciating what she did then and how her actions conspire us to work for justice in our own time. I think you'll like what Esther has to say. A lot of people do. The story of Queen Esther has always been a popular book. It appeals for lots of reasons. The storyline is easy to follow. It has drama. It has intrigue. It has humor, lots of humor. It lampoons people in power. It uses irony, satire, and farce as plot devices. The title character evolves in both her self-understanding as well as in her agency to act. She is unapologetic in her approach to resolving the chief conflict. In the end, the bad guy is satisfyingly humiliated, and the formerly oppressed Jews institute a festival that continues to this day, and it's the only Jewish festival authorized by a woman. Now that is a remarkable book. All that said, Esther is not without her detractors. Naturally, Esther has been subjected to criticism by theologians and scholars alike for not being what they would like her to be. Sound familiar? Some of the criticisms include her right to be in the Bible in the first place. It took over 8 centuries before Esther was officially welcomed into the canon. One of the most critical, vocal critics was Martin Luther. Remember what he had to say about the book of James, the epistle of straw? He says something very similar about Esther. But to some extent, Luther is right, and he has a point. God is named exactly zero times in Esther's story. Some scholars argue that God is referenced in terms of fate working behind the scenes, but in the text itself, no mention of God. The king of Persia, on the other hand, is named nearly 200 times. Further, there are no indications of traditional Jewish observances, such as the law of Moses, prayer, dietary restrictions, or any mention of Jerusalem. In this way, the book of Esther stands as unique amongst the ancient Hebrew texts. Regardless of what biblical scholars say, the book of Esther has always been popular literature. It's important to note that even though this reads like an historical account of the Jewish people, it's not. It actually falls into the category of historical fiction. It retains references to actual places and people that we can cross-reference in the historical record. For example, King Ahasuerus has been identified as Xerxes I, who reigned from 486 to 465 before the Common Era. Xerxes, like Ahasuerus, was also a really bad leader. All of the descriptions of the brutality in the Roman Empire that we may all be a little more familiar with work for Xerxes as well. Understand, though, that this is historical fiction. So the details described in the story are fabricated. Esther has a purpose for her story, but it's not to chronicle an event as much as to develop a theme. It was written as it was, with all its humor and hyperbole, to soften the difficulties experienced by people living in the exile. The book of Esther is very clearly fiction, but it carries within it a very important lesson. Esther starts out as a passive character, just another beautiful young girl brought before the king to become his next queen. Through a series of plot twists, Esther realizes she's able to use her position within the walls of power to influence those same powers. In fact, she's so naturally adept at this that she deftly neutralizes her chief antagonist, Haman, and then turns the tables on him. Because Esther claimed her agency, Haman's vengeful pursuit of Mordecai ends up with Haman dying on the very gallows he had built to hang Mordecai. The book of Esther is a good read, and I encourage you to take some time out of your day and enjoy this story. It's not very long, but understand that for us, this is much more than just an entertaining work of historical fiction. Why is this text important to us? Because Esther demonstrates for us how she uses the gifts, skills, and abilities that God has given her to handle a complex and difficult situation. It is significant that God is not called upon to smite the enemy. Neither do we witness a supernatural event whereby God swoops in to rescue anybody. No. In this story, Esther uses her own smarts to figure out how to prevail in a very difficult situation. She relies on the counsel and insights of others to understand the situation and allows others to encourage and support her to do what she has agency to do. Esther is brave and courageous. She risks her life and the hope of all of her actions on a long shot. Esther acts and she prevails. So this is a good book with all the things that make for good storytelling, but what has it got to do with us? Somehow, even with no mention of God at all, this book finds itself carrying forward its part in the narrative of the human-divine relationship. I would argue that its inclusion in the meta-narrative of God's people gives us critical information about our part in this partnership. When we read Esther, we are reminded of some of the more important gifts that God has given to us. Like Esther, We also have been given the gifts to handle all sorts of situations. We've been given the ability to size up situations, listen carefully to wise counsel, and engage our natural skills and attributes to make a positive difference in the world, for us and for the members of our wider community. It doesn't mean that we no longer have a need for God. Quite the opposite, really. We still need God because God is the source of all of our gifts and skills and abilities. We glorify God by engaging the gifts that God has given us to move through life. God is praised when we recognize how valuable we are in our communities and help lead God's people to a better place. Reflect back upon your own life. Consider the times that you found yourself in a tricky situation. Maybe your situation was particularly desperate, like Esther's. Maybe it was challenging in other ways. What was scary? What was overwhelming? What tried to make you believe that you were not strong enough to face the difficulties? Think about how you used your skills to bring about a successful outcome. Take a moment to recall the chapter in your life story that echoes the events, characters, and circumstances described in the book of Esther. God created Esther with attributes like wisdom, creativity, courage, and determination. She was able to make use of those attributes to overcome an obstacle and help a lot of other people too. Perhaps more than anything else, Esther kept her head about herself. She didn't succumb to the anxieties of an impending genocide. No one would have blamed her if she did. But she was able to maintain her sense of herself, even when things could have overwhelmed her. She kept her focus on the outcome she envisioned, and worked her way toward that. Do you understand that experience? Does that resonate with your life story in any way? I'd be willing to bet that everyone in this room can think of a time when they were in a similar situation and prevailed because you engaged your unique attributes and abilities in the same way. Take some time to remember those experiences. Meditate upon them. When you do, recognize how you activated the gifts that God gave you to bring about good things in the world around you. Meditate on how your activation of those things brought joy to God and celebration in the heavenly places when you did exactly what God gave you the ability to do. Esther is a wonderful example of how we glorify God in our very being. She did it. And we can do it too. The story of Esther is nothing less than the manifestation of the human-divine partnership and the inbreaking of the kingdom of heaven and the result of our being and doing as God created us to be and to do. And that is the good news.